because it's Mother's Day, not maybe if you're listening to the tape it's not, or watching the video, but see, if you're here semi-life, then it is Mother's Day. I have these great jokes I use for Mother's Day, but they never work. And so I just thought, don't do it this year, because people just stare and tell their friends. So what I thought I'd do instead, and these are live quotes from children. I've got just, there were dozens. I just picked just a small few. Thought you might appreciate them, especially you that are mothers, you know. Even if your children are now full grown and still trouble, you remember when they were little. And these are quotes from the little ones. This is a 7-year-old and a little girl out of Illinois. These are quotes that are directly from the children, okay? So, and this is dedicated to mothers, of course. See how important mothers are. The neat thing about my mom is her hair. Sometimes it's brown, sometimes it's black. Once it was even red, and boy, did my dad yell. That's a 7-year-old. Her name is Kathy. She's in Illinois. Here's a 7-year-old named Jana out of New York. She says, my mom really yells when I break something expensive. So whenever I drop something, I just say to myself, it wasn't expensive. It wasn't expensive. I like this. So this is a 5-year-old from Pennsylvania. Her name is Peggy. I only tried to help my mom. She was hurrying to get everyone dressed for the family picture. My hair was messed up. So I got my scissors and cut off all the messy parts. Now, do you remember, mothers? You remember? Yeah. This is from a 9-year-old out of California. Her name is Jessica. She says, I babysit my brother, which really is a nice thing to do, and it helps my mom. But he's an animal, and sometimes I have to bite him to make him behave. And my mother doesn't mind, so. You see, it's kind of, it's cool to be a mother. I've never been one, but. Now this one says it all. 7-year-old out of Colorado, Dina. Wait, I don't want to skip this. Jose from California. He is 7. He says, I know that it makes my mom mad when I fight with my brother. I don't want to make her mad, but I have to beat my brother up. So I wish my mom would just stop getting mad. I understand that too. And then finally, from a 7-year-old in Colorado, Dina. You know what it takes to be a mom? It takes a long time to live, an awful lot of hard work, and a long time to get your heart going that hard. I really think it's worth it because your little child loves you more than anything in the whole world. So, happy Mother's Day to you, and don't give up on those little ones, or the big ones, please. Luke. Chapter 20. Now we should be in verse 19 because we got all the way through verse 18. And remember, he talked about the stone that the builders rejected, come the cornerstone. You fall on that stone, you're broken. If the stone falls on you, you're crushed to dust and you're gone. And the chief priests and the scribes, the same hour, they sought to lay hands on him. He knew they were talking about him. I mean, he knew He knew that he was talking about them. And they got upset at that and they wanted to kill him. They wanted to grab him right there. But they were afraid of the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Now, there are times when you read the Bible, I do, we realize that is spoken directly against me. When I read that, I see myself there. He's talking about me. How does it make you feel? A lot of times it makes you feel angry. If you want to see that in action, wait for a Christian to say something or do something, and then quote them a scripture that shows them what they just did wasn't right. What happens? Yeah, you don't want to be standing too close. And these are Christians. They say, oh, you know, the Bible says that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh, shut up, man. Why don't you, you know, the Bible says. What's the reaction? Yeah. Well, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to grab him and kill him. But they were afraid the people might not let them. They're afraid of the people. And they watched him, and they sent forth, oh man, can you believe this? Spies, religious spies, you know, Guido the Baptist. He's dressed in nice clothes. And they sent out these spies after him. Nothing wrong with Baptist, but you know, Guido. Which should feign themselves just men. They're going to act like, dress like, they're going to act really nice, but they're going to see if they could get this guy. We want to kill him. Let's just get rid of him. So they send out these spies. They acted like they were just men. Just meaning righteous and nice people. That they might take hold of his words. So that they might deliver him unto the power and the authority of the governor. Let's get this guy arrested and get him killed. Just get him off our backs. And so they asked him, these spies. They said, Master, verse 21, we know that you say and teach rightly. Watch out, everybody. Watch out for flatterers. We know that you say and teach rightly. Neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. That's a lie. They don't know that. If they knew that, they would believe it and they would listen to him. We know you say the right things. We know that you don't care who it is you're talking to, you're still going to tell them the truth. No, they don't know that. If they knew that, they'd really be interested in listening. But they're spies. They're there to trick him, to trap him. Oh, I don't believe this garbage. Come on, say something stupid so I can get you. Boy, as a pastor, you hear that all the time. I've come to this church, but I don't want to be here. Somebody dragged me here. So I'm going to be listening to you. A friend of mine, a good friend of mine, before he was a friend of mine, came to our little Bible study. I've never seen him in my life. And he walks up to me before the study, before we even got started, and he goes, I'll be listening to you. You see, I don't trust people like you. I looked at him and said, you don't even know me. How do you know what people like me? I've seen guys like you on TV. Right. Cotton candy hairdo, white buck shoes. Right. But he says, I don't trust people like you. And I thought, doesn't matter what I say tonight, does it? Whatever I say, he's going to say, oh, he's trying to get money. Oh, look, he's trying to just condemn. Oh, look, he's... Well, he turned out to be a friend. Well, sort of. No, if they knew he was going to tell them the truth, they would have been all ears. Well, metaphorically speaking, you. They would have listened and paid attention, but they were there to trick him. So he said, all right, you teach God's way truly. We know you're going to say the truth no matter what. So, is it legal or lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Oh, see, they think they got him. See, if he says, no, don't pay taxes to Caesar, that's not lawful. That's not what Moses would have said. Then they can say, all right, we can grab him and arrest him and say, hey, he's preaching, don't pay taxes. If you don't pay your taxes, put him in jail, kill him. Hey, we got him. Now, if he says, yes, it's lawful to pay taxes, then the people are going to say, you jerk, we don't like you anymore because you know what? We hate Rome and we don't want to. Well, they're spending our money poorly and they're all thieves and liars and we don't want to pay taxes and so you're bad. So it's kind of like we got him. If we ask him this question, no matter how he answers. See, they think that Jesus is here for the popularity. Well, we got him because he's not going to want to lose all his followers. And if he says this, he'll lose his followers. And a lot of people thought that about Jesus. They thought he was here for the glory. He's just here for the popularity. And you know something? That wasn't what Jesus was all about. Did you know that? He was here to do the will of his Father. He wasn't here for the popularity. None of us ought to be here for the popularity. And you tell the truth, and the truth is, there are a lot of people that just don't want to hear that kind of thing. I mean, that's the truth. They just don't want to. Or sometimes they'll want to hear it, but they won't want to hear it for long. Is that all you're going to do, is go verse by verse in the Bible? Is that all you're going to do? All. That's the Word of God. That's where you will grow up. That's where you will be fed and be healthy and strong and protected by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that all you guys are going to do? The Bible? Because people don't really want to hear the truth too much. So you don't do these kind of things so you can build a big church. And so people say to us, hey, I hear there's a church starting down the street. Aren't you worried? Hey, I hear they're right across the border there in the valley. There's this new church. And I hear they're growing and I hear they're... And people think that you're supposed to worry a little bit. No, you see, you're not here. We're not here to build crowds or to be known. We're here to tell the truth and preach the truth. And Jesus, he's not stumped up by this question. Well, if I answer this way, that. If I answer this way, that. You see what he says? He says, Jesus perceived their craftiness, and he said unto them, why are you tempting or testing me like this? What a waste of time. Show me a penny, a denarii. And then they gave it to him. Why? He didn't have one. Again, I'm convinced, because the Bible says so, that Jesus was not rich, he was poor. It's the opposite of what you think. He was poor. By choice, he chose to be poor. Another incident comes up about taxes later on in his ministry. Well, earlier on in his ministry in another gospel. And Peter brings up the fact that they're telling us we need to pay our taxes, and they're saying, your master doesn't pay taxes. What should we do, Lord? And Jesus says, go down, take a fishing pole, go down, fish. The first fish that you pull out, open his mouth, you'll find money in there. Enough to pay taxes for you and me. That's why guys are out there fishing still today, I think. That's why they miss church. I'm sure one of the reasons that they don't come to church is they're feeling led of the Lord to find money. And so they spend a lot of time out there. You can't blame them. Why did Jesus have him fishing for money if Jesus was so rich? Well, the truth is Jesus chose to be the servant of all. He chose that. So he says, you show me a penny, a denarii. And then when they threw it to him, he said, whose image and superscription is on it? They answered to him and they said, Caesar's. Caesar, the ruler of the known world. That's whose image and superscription is on this coin. So that coin was pressed or stamped, and it was made in the image of who? Caesar. There it is. So he said to them, then you render unto Caesar the things which belong to Caesar, and unto God the things which belong to God. That's interesting. You give to Caesar the things that are his. Caesar, that you're using his money. I mean, I noticed that one of these spies, he said, show me a denarii, show me a penny. And they pulled it out of their pocket or out of their purse or wherever they carried, tossed it to Jesus. He caught it. They were carrying money of their despised enemy. Why? Because that's what you had to use. It was the Roman government. It was the Roman Empire. You're going to use Roman money. And so these weasels didn't have any problem holding on to money to go buy groceries and to go buy ice cream and to go buy all the things they wanted, and still sitting there condemning Caesar, but they're using his stuff. You know, when we think about Rome, we can condemn them all you want. Go ahead. But they made nice roads. I mean, you take a look, and they roaded that place up. The Roman Empire, I mean, there were some major roads, and they were paved. And they at least, even though you didn't like their practices, man, the law, the crime rate in most of their cities was pretty low. I mean, you stole, and somebody hang you or put you to death somehow. You just didn't want to run around stealing people's purses because it wasn't going to happen. And so, because of that, they were being taxed, and the people hated Rome. And Jesus says, wait a minute, show me some money. Who does the money belong to? Well, Caesar. It's made in his image even. It's got his image right on it. Well, then it belongs to him. Give it to him. He's given you $100, and he's asking for 10% of it back in taxes. You give it to him. What if he's asking for 20? It's his. Give it to him. What if he wants 50? Who cares? It's his. It belongs to Caesar. Now, I know there's movements among the church to find ways to not pay taxes. There's also movements among the church to find ways to go to jail. Those are easy. Go for it if that's what you think. That's great. But Jesus says just the opposite. Oh, you're going to use American money? Who does it belong to? Federal Reserve. It's not federal and there's no reserve, but so what? It belongs to whoever out there, and if they say they want 14% of it back or 30% of it back in taxes, give it to them. And don't complain. You give Caesar what's due Caesar. But notice he didn't stop there. You need to give God what's due God. Okay, here we go. Now, whose image are you made in? Caesar's? Whose image is stamped on you? You say, well, I'm not a Christian. Fine. Then whose image were you made in anyway? Non-Christian or Christian alike? If you're human, then you were made in the image of God. You need to give God what's due him. What is that? God doesn't want your money, your shoes, your stuff. He wants you. You're the one that's got the image of God stamped on you. Me and you. You give Caesar what's due Caesar, but you need to render unto God the things that are God's. That would be my heart, your heart. That would be my life, your life. Interesting, Jesus answered, don't you think? Well, they could not take hold of his words before the people. And they marveled at his answer, and they held their peace. In other words, he shut them up. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. The Sadducees denied all the supernatural. Super means above. They denied all the supernatural. I know many people like that today. Many, many people today deny anything supernatural. Everything you can see, that's all that there is. There is nothing above the natural. So they didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in demons. They didn't believe in any resurrection of the dead, because there's after this life, there's nothing. So their motto is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. That's it. It's over. There's nothing after this life. That's what they believe. That's how they lived. That's why they were sad, you see. Well, that's how I remember it. And this is the question that they asked him. Now, here comes another lie. They said, Master, Moses wrote unto us, this is verse 28, if any man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should marry his wife and raise up children after him, raise up seed to his brother. And you'll see that kind of practiced in the book of Ruth. Well, there were therefore seven brothers, and the first took a wife, and he died without having any children. And so, of course, the second brother married her, according to the law, and he died, didn't have any children. Then the third brother married her, according to the law, and he died, and left no children. In like manner, all seven married this girl, according to the law, and they all died. Last of all, finally, the woman died. Okay, what's your point? Well, here's the question. In the resurrection, whose wife is she? Whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Now remember, they don't believe in a resurrection. They don't care one way or the other what his answer is. They're just seeing if they could come up. Here's a really weird situation. She was married to all seven of them. Now she dies. Okay, when in the resurrection, who will she be married to? Which one? First one? The last one? I mean, which one was the real one? Now, in Matthew and in Mark, both, Jesus, before he gives them this answer, he says, you do err, or the reason that you're making these mistakes is you do not know the Scripture nor the power of God. The reason this question seems difficult to you, or seems like you think you've got me, is because you do not know the Word of God and you do not know the power of God. Now, we should not be said or that should not be said to us. Do you know the Word of God? It is so common, and I've told you this before, it is so common for people who do not believe, they'll say, I'm not a Christian. I go, okay, that's cool. Tell me why. Because I don't believe the Bible. Okay, how much of it have you read yourself? Listen, chances are really good they're going to tell you none. Or, oh, I read parts here and there. Or I went to Sunday school and we learned stories. Or I read a book and in that book they showed me how the Bible was no good. They quoted from the Bible. You see, they haven't themselves put any time or heart into it. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but you render unto God the things that are God's. Is there a God? I've heard people tell me, I am an atheist, meaning a, the prefix there, meaning without in the Greek. Atheist, without God. I'm without God. Well, okay, that's the way we all are until we're born again. We all are without God. They say, no, I am without a God. I do not believe in a God at all. Okay, how can you prove to me there's not one? Well, I just don't believe it. Based on how you feel? Where you got gas someplace eating? What do you base it on? Based on the book that somebody else wrote and you read it and liked it? Without ever going and seeing what God Himself says about Himself? You know, the only place that you can find out what God is like is in God's Word. Have you gone through it with an open heart and said, all right, if you're out there, I'll read it and let me see. God will tell you things about Himself that you never knew. And they said, well, whose wife's she going to be? You err because you don't know the Scriptures and you don't know God's power. And then he answers. The children of this world, they do marry. That was God's idea. You can read Genesis chapter 2. And they are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Did you hear that? There is no marriage after this world. There is no marriage in heaven or in eternity beyond. So don't let anybody tell you that you can go through some kind of temple ritual and be married for eternity. It's not true. Jesus just showed you that's not true. There is no marriage there. They neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore. For they are equal to the angels. Wait. He didn't say they are angels. He said they are equal to the angels. Now, there's this teaching that's been going on ever since before I was born that you leave here and you become an angel. Somehow, if you do good and you make it to some cloud, you just sit there with a white robe, you have wings, and you play a harp. Music lessons, I guess, are it just happens in your head, and you can play a harp. And so we have pictures of people maybe they've lost loved ones who were young, 8, 9 years old, even earlier, and they just picture them as angels. They say, I have my angels. You know, that's not scriptural. Scripture says we will be like the angels. And what does that mean? We'll never die. And the angels neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither will we after this world. So you're not going to become an angel. You can still watch It's a Wonderful Life. It's not a sin. You can still like Clarence Oddbody. He's a little different. But every time a bell rings, an angel doesn't get his wings. Why? Because all the angels that there will ever be were created before you were created. You're not going to get angels' wings. You're not going to ever be an angel. Certainly down here, that's for sure. And you're not going to be one anywhere else, according to the Word of God. Well, what are we going to be? Resurrected bodies. Kingdom of priests, those of you that are born again. Serving the Lord. Ruling and reigning with Him forever and ever throughout eternity. higher than the angels, but like them in the fact that you won't die and there is no marriage. But Jesus tackles another issue. He says, now that the dead are raised, he says, now that's even a more important issue. Since you brought up the question about the resurrection, let me talk about that. Since you Sadducees don't even believe in the supernatural, he says, now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed us that at the bush. Remember the burning bush in Exodus? That's probably Exodus chapter 3. Even Moses showed that at the bush when he called the Lord and God. When he calleth, the Lord and God of Abraham and Isaac, God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. See, he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Said in English, said in American, God said from the burning bush, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That language says they are still in existence somewhere. He didn't say, I was the God of Abraham, back then. Remember Abraham? I was the God of his son Isaac. I was the God of his son Jacob. No, I am the God of these. They are living right now, existing somewhere. You see, there is life after life. And it's very clear there's life after. I mean, even the occult deal with it and realize it. Even the false religions are looking for life after life. You know, many are looking for nirvana. And you just continue to come back, reincarnation, and work off all your bad karma. Once all your bad karma is gone, this is false teaching, but this is what they teach. Once it's all gone, then you finally don't ever have to come back here, and you've worked yourself into a spiritual existence. You become part of the oversoul, part of nirvana, which is perfect nothingness. That's weird to look forward to. But even they know something else goes on. See, you've been created, whether you believe in Jesus or not, whether you believe in God or not, you are created, and you will never cease from that time on. You never will end. This physical body will, but you never will end. You will either live for eternity with the Lord, or you will suffer for eternity away from the Lord. You got the choice to make here. Don't blame it on God. I hear God takes a bad rap. People say, you mean God is a God of love, but he would send me to hell? No, he's not sending you to hell. You're volunteering. Stop volunteering. Don't go. He said, you come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Don't go there. You say, I don't like you. I don't even believe in you. Don't look at me. I'm going there. Some people want to go to hell so bad they're digging. I mean, they grab shovels and just start digging. I'm going. And then, when things are bad, people say, boy, that God, if there is a God, he sure is a jerk. Boy, that God, if you believe in God, well, then how come he lets me suffer like this? Hey, wait a minute. Your eyes got to be hurting. You've turned them so far in. Look. The Bible says in Hebrews, look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's where these eyes need to go. If I look at me, I go, gee, I don't have what they have. And here we go. He is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Then certain of the scribes answered and said, Master, you have said well. After that, they dared not ask him any questions at all. And he says to them, he says, I got a question for you then, since you're all out of questions. How do they say that the Messiah is David's son? How can they say that, Jesus says? In other words, if you'd think about this, you'd come to realize who I am. David himself said in the Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. David therefore called him Lord. And he says, if David called him Lord, then how can he be the son of David? Interesting, isn't it? If these scribes, these Sadducees, if they could just think about that question and answer it simply and logically, you'd have to recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. How can he be David's Lord, God, and yet be David's son? How could David call a son that hadn't even been born yet, how could he call him Lord? And it's clear. what has happened. David is showing us that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and that he was born miraculously of a virgin birth, through the lineage of David. So he is literally the son of David through the lineage, through his mother Mary, who is a virgin. It was a miracle. Isaiah promised that miracle. God promised it through Isaiah, making him the son of David, and at the same time making him the son of the living God, actually God in human flesh. If they think about that question he asked them, they would be able to come to a saving knowledge and recognize him as Messiah. But they wouldn't do it. And then the audience of all the people, or in the audience of all the people, Jesus said to his disciples, not just to his 12, although he's talking to them, but so that everyone could hear it, he said, "Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes. They love the greetings in the marketplaces, and they love the highest seats in the synagogues, and the chief places at the feasts." Beware means to look out for, watch out for. He says, "They devour widows' homes, and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater judgment or damnation." You beware of their teaching compared to their practicing. These guys looked good on the outside. They said, "Oh yeah, we're followers of God," but they were ripping people off. They were cheating. They were stealing. A widow would be having difficulties, so they would purchase her home and let her live in it. And of course, they owned, instead of the banks, they owned the title. And they would foreclose on this girl Friday night, and Saturday morning is the Sabbath, or Friday afternoon, and then Friday evening and Saturday the Sabbath starts. They would go right there and make these big long prayers, standing up there. And you remember, the Pharisee went to the temple to pray, and he prayed thus, just standing there, "I thank you, Lord of my life." And just yesterday, he foreclosed on a lady who couldn't care for her own self. Jesus says, you got to watch out for that. There has to be practice. And the old question put to us is, are you willing to preach what you practice? In other words, are you willing to take yesterday and get up and preach on it the way you did it? Am I willing to take yesterday? Are we willing to preach what we're practicing? Jesus says, you got to beware of that. And that's what we all need to be aware of, because all of us, to admit it, all of us are hypocrites. We realize it. And it's our prayer that God would change our hearts and grow us. You want to know if Jesus Christ is really the Messiah? Go back and read through the Psalms and see in Psalm 110. Just go back and read some of those where David said, "The Lord," in other words, "my Lord God said to my Lord God." He called God the Father and God the Son his Lord. At the same time, he knew that it would be his Son. Through his lineage, Messiah would come. Jesus says to these people who are attacking him, "If you'll think about this, you'll see I'm the Messiah, and you can come to a saving knowledge." Notice, there's hope for everyone. He never gives up on anybody. Pray about these things. Pray about what we ought to be giving to Caesar, what we ought to be giving to the Lord. Where's your heart? Have you ever really thought about God and what he's like? And have you ever looked in the only place that describes him to you? From him himself, his own words, what he has to say about himself. It's very interesting to read through Scripture and do a study on everything God has to say about himself. You might be surprised. Another thing, go through and find out everything he has to say to those that belong to him. All the promises he has made to you. Give God, render unto God the things that belong to him. Don't hold back any longer. Let's bow our heads together.